Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Good to worship our God with you. Go ahead and turn in your New Testaments, please, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20 will be there in just a few moments. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 28. Our elders have asked me specifically to preach a sermon series on elders and deacons, and so we will be beginning that effort this morning. And as we move through this subject together over the next several weeks about church leadership and what that is, what it looks like, we will eventually go to 1 Timothy, we'll eventually go to Titus to study the specific character qualities of elders and deacons. But before we do that, I think it's important to go back and look in the scriptures about a specific word, a specific concept, a specific idea that keeps showing up throughout the Bible about what good leaders look like from God's perspective. You know, the Bible will use three different words to describe elders. First one is elder, and the word elder just simply means senior or older. God also calls elders overseers, which means somebody who has taken on the task of caring for somebody else. But the scriptures also describe the main church leaders as shepherds. And have you noticed that throughout the Bible, God's leaders were often shepherds? They were often found in this role. You think about who Abraham was. He was a man of many talents. He did many things in his life. He was a shepherd herder. He was a man who had lots of livestock and knew how to shepherd. You think about Moses. You think about David. You think about the prophet Amos. You think about Abraham's sons, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. They're all men who were experienced in the art of shepherding. They knew how to do that. The kings of Israel were sometimes called shepherds. In the text in 2 Samuel 5 that was just read for us, David himself was called by God, "You shall be shepherd of my people Israel." And when King Jesus came in the flesh in John chapter 10, which we will look at today further into the lesson, Jesus calls himself the shepherd. "I am the good shepherd." And he'll talk about what that means. And so let's think about, before we begin, who this lesson applies to. This lesson does not just apply to men in this audience who are currently aspiring to be elders and believe they are qualified in the near future. This lesson also applies to young men here in the audience who don't have kids, who don't have families yet. As you look forward to who you want to become, this lesson applies to you. Those of you who have young children in the audience, and you are potentially years down the road from becoming a shepherd of this congregation, this lesson applies to you as you think about down the road who you want to become, who God wants you to become, if you are suited for that role. And regardless of our gender this morning, male or female, if we are members of this congregation, this lesson and the ones to follow it apply to all of us, because all of us at some point down the road will be asked to look among ourselves to see if somebody is qualified and suited and willing to serve in the role of shepherd. And so we'll look at a few passages this morning about how the New Testament describes shepherds. And then we'll go to John chapter 10 and look at how Jesus talked about shepherding, what good shepherding meant from his perspective. So if you would, go to Acts chapter 20 and read a couple of verses with me in here that describe what shepherds of congregations should be like. Beginning in verse 28 of chapter 20, the Acts, Paul is speaking to some elders, some shepherds. He is not one, but he is, as an apostle, he is instructing them, and he's about to lead them. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. It's a pretty touching story in Acts chapter 20. We don't have time to read through it all or even talk about it all. But the Apostle Paul has spent, as he just said, 3 years working with the church at Ephesus, trying to teach them and lead them to God's truth. And so he knows this city, and he knows this congregation that he helped to start himself. And so he is about to leave them, and as he'll say at the end of the chapter, he's never coming back to Ephesus again. This is the last time that these men, these shepherds, are going to see him and get instructed by him. And so at the end of the chapter, they're crying, and they're emotional, and they're a wreck. But he's giving them final instructions to live by, and he knows what's coming for this church. He says, I know that guys are going to come into the congregation, and guys are going to spring up among you who are not going to have the flock's best interest at heart. And that's the thing. He never uses the word shepherd in these verses, but he talks about a flock. And that's what shepherds are over. And so he's still got this idea in what he's saying. And so he says, you've got to be on the alert. You've got to be careful, because these people are coming. And so one function of God's shepherd is he's got to beat off the wolves. The wolves that come into the area where the flock is, and the wolves that pretend to be sheep for a while in order to deceive and get people on board with their ideas and their lifestyle, and then reveal themselves to be wolves. It says you've got to beat off those evil people from the flock. And the more alert the shepherds are, the more sheep they can save, the more sheep they can protect. And so spiritual shepherds are supposed to be alert people watchers. Not that they're trying to constantly go on witch hunts to try to find problems where there might not be any problems, but they are to examine the sheep and to understand the strengths and weaknesses of the sheep, to identify their characteristics and who they are, and to know them inside and out, so that they can lead them in the best way. Shepherds are also called to be example givers and to be eager in doing that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter, we have a really interesting text that was written by an elder, by a shepherd. You know, Peter, as he will say here in this chapter, is shepherding a congregation of God's people when he writes this. And so he's now talking to other shepherds who have that same job. And he'll say in verse 1 of chapter 5, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's a really sobering text to read, because who are the people that these shepherds are supposed to be overseeing? They're people that don't belong to them. He says, the flock of God. These people under your care belong to our Heavenly Father. You know, when somebody gives you something really, really valuable to hold on to for a while, to sort of borrow, you know, maybe it's something with a motor in it. Maybe it's something with some bright and shiny gold in it. Maybe some diamonds. Whatever valuable possession we borrow for a while, we have a great sense of responsibility to the one who gave us that possession for a while, don't we? If we're borrowing it, if it doesn't belong to us, we want to make sure that it stays intact, that it stays polished, that it stays in one piece. And so that's the attitude that an elder should have. How much more should a shepherd have that mentality when he realizes that souls, people's eternal destinies, are affected by how he takes care of these people that God has given him? And if a shepherd does that, Peter says, there is this crown, this unfading crown. Earlier in 1 Peter, we studied already in the adult Bible class how Peter talks about how our inheritance that is coming for all of us Christians is unfading. It can't be defiled. It's imperishable. It's waiting for us. Now he'll talk to the elders and say, and that crown is coming for you too. Specifically, God rewards those who sweat and labor in his kingdom to try to help other people in this kind of way. God appreciates this role so much. We ought to as well, as we look to the men who lead us and shepherd us. And that leads into this next point. I want to especially look at Ephesians chapter 4 before we go to John 10 to talk about Jesus as the good shepherd. Let's go to one more passage that describes who shepherds are for us. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. The Apostle Paul is talking about roles in the church, and he says, and he, talking about God, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why? Why did he do that? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So this text is teaching us how we grow up in Jesus, how we mature as Christians. God gives us gifts in the form of people. And so these people gifts are given so that we can understand what the true teaching of Christ is, so that we can attach ourselves to it and then grow up into it. And so Mo and Wally and anybody else who serves us in this group in the role of shepherd and does it well is a gift to us. And you know, a lot of people are described in verse 11, but those shepherds are there who guide the flock. They are essential to the growth of a congregation, a church, and the building up of Jesus' body. All right, so let's talk about Jesus now and what made him a good shepherd that we can pattern our lives after. And let's go to John chapter 10 to do that. We're going to be spending the rest of our time in John chapter 10 this morning. We're going to read a little bit of a lengthy passage together, but it's going to be worth it, because I want the words of Jesus himself, rather than me, do most of the talking here about who he is and what his role entails. So John chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse 1 of the text. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he is brought out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will follow from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 7, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. For no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." What a neat passage to read and think about. What is it that makes Jesus a good shepherd for the sheep that he leads? Well, you notice a couple of things. First of all, verse 3, the sheep that he leads are very familiar with his voice. They respond to him when he calls them. And did you catch it in verse 3? He knows his sheep so well, he calls them individually by name and they come out to him. I have read stories of shepherds. Obviously, I don't have a lot of experience with sheep. I am not a shepherd. But from what I have read in books, there are shepherds, especially out in the Middle East, who have trained their sheep so well because they're with them so much and they talk to them so much that they can just whistle to a whole bunch of sheep and their sheep and his sheep that will come trotting out from among other sheep to gather to him because they know his voice. They understand who he is. And so that kind of thing only happens when the shepherd has been with his sheep enough to where they understand and are comfortable with him leading them. Sheep evidently are really skittish creatures, and they're not going to just follow anybody. So if I just walk up to a sheep in the middle of a pasture and say, "Hey sheep, come on, come with me, I'm going to lead you to some pasture," the sheep's not going to follow because it doesn't know my voice. And so, like verse 5 will point out, sheep are not going to follow somebody that they don't understand, that they don't know. What a beautiful picture of sheep knowing their shepherd and responding to his voice. That describes Jesus' relationship with his sheep. You know, in the Gospels that we read, Jesus had men who followed him around even when they didn't understand everything he was saying. In fact, verse 6 tells us he's trying to teach them about who he is. They don't get it. but they still follow him. Why? Because they're comfortable with who he is. They know his voice. If you are aspiring to be a shepherd of this congregation of God's people, please ask yourself a couple of questions. Number one, do these sheep know you? Do the people in this congregation, are they comfortable following you? Do they know your voice? Have you spoken with them enough to where if you whistle, they're there? That they follow without doubt? Are you habitually reaching out to get to know the sheep of this congregation? Having them into your home, going out with them, finding ways to get together with them so that you understand who they are and they understand who you are. If you are a sheep of this congregation thinking about a name that you might someday put down on a form, ask yourself the question, do I have a trustful connection with this man? Because Jesus had a trustful connection with his sheep. This is how he led. Verse 9 is also something we need to notice, where Jesus says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so Jesus leads his sheep to nourishing places that are going to help them to grow. Not places where there are a lot of poisonous weeds, not places where there are a lot of wolves around, but places he has specially picked out for them. Jesus did that. You know, in Psalm 23, where David writes about the Lord, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He's picked out these places for me to go. You know, evidently in the Middle East, where there isn't a lot of water like there is around here, different ponds and things like that, they don't have that in the Middle East. And so shepherds might spend all day looking for a water source because sheep, like a lot of animals, they've got to drink water every single day. So what are you going to do? If you're a shepherd, you can't just let them find it by themselves. Sheep are not evidently that smart of an animal, and so they need a lot of help. They're pretty defenseless creatures. They need somebody to help them to find where they need to go. And you think about the protection that Jesus is showing here when he talks about, I am the door of the sheep. You think about what shepherds do. In the Middle East, evidently, what they'll do is, At the end of the day, they'll lead their sheep into a small enclosure, and then the shepherd will himself lie down over the entrance of this enclosure so that in the middle of the night, the shepherd will know if a sheep is getting out, and he will know if something or someone is getting in to harm the sheep or to steal them or something. So the shepherd leads and nourishes and protects. We see that there in verse 9. So spiritual shepherds have to be doors for us, for us to grow spiritually. We need to be able to come to them and say, I've got a problem, or I see a problem, and they need to be able to sit down with us and open the scriptures and teach us from the word so that we might grow and have direction. We'll talk about that in future lessons. In verse 10, something else that a shepherd needs to be able to do, because this is what Jesus did. Verse 10, he said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know, Jesus, his job, and he'll say this as he talks about laying down his life for the sheep. We'll talk about that. His purpose here is not to take for himself. His purpose was to give. As he says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. One thing I found was so fascinating about this study for me is, in that culture, back in this time, being a shepherd was not a position of status. It was not looked upon as a kind of job that you would want to have. where people would honor you and respect you for being a shepherd. Shepherd was pretty low on the totem pole of society. In fact, you know the kind of people who usually became shepherds back in this time period and in Old Testament time periods? The youngest son of a family, basically the leftover son, who's not going to receive a lot of inheritance from his dad, he's the one that usually got put out there with the sheep. That's why David, as the youngest son of many sons of his dad Jesse, that's why he got stuck out there in the pasture. Because that's the job that nobody else wants to have. Because you're out there with the sheep in the elements, sometimes for days on end. You got to fend off wild animals. You got to, you know, try to find good places for your sheep to go. It's a tough job. And so as a potential shepherd, if you are a man aspiring to be an elder someday, think about this question. Why do you want that position? Is it so that you can have a position of authority and status? Is that how you look at this? Or do you view this role as a position of service? There's no doubt from the scriptures that elders have authority and that they do wield a lot of influence on a congregation. They are the leaders. But that leadership position is primarily there for them to serve so that they can help other people to grow. Not so that they can grab power. Not so that they can get a gold star on their spiritual report cards and turn it in to God on the day of judgment and say, "I was an elder." That's not what it's about. That's not what it was about for Jesus. Being a shepherd is not a status symbol like driving an Audi. Being a shepherd is a position of service. Jesus understood that. And then related to that idea, in verse 11, we find Jesus sacrificing his personal comfort. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Just like David did in the Old Testament, a good shepherd always carries some kind of defensive weapon with him, like a sling, so that he can pick up a stone and defend his sheep at all costs against some kind of lion, bear, wild animal that wants to eat the sheep and carry them off. A good shepherd didn't shrink back from a fight because sheep are valuable animals in this society. And Jesus did just that. He cared for his sheep so much that he's going to sacrifice his whole life to save them and make sure that they are out of the clutches of the one who wants to harm them. But hired hands don't do that. Did you notice how he talks about babysitters who sort of look after the sheep, but the sheep don't belong to them, and so when the wolf comes, hired hand is headed for the hills because he does not feel a vested interest in these sheep. He's just looking after them because he's getting paid. But a spiritual shepherd can't have that mentality. A hired hand doesn't care what happens to the sheep. It's no skin off his nose if a sheep or two get carried off in the middle of the night. Maybe his pay gets docked, maybe that's about it. A shepherd feels deeply for the souls of the sheep that he cares for. A spiritual shepherd in Jesus' church has to have that mentality. And so, men, if you are considering becoming a shepherd one day, ask yourself the question, are you willing to lay down your life for the benefit of the sheep? That probably won't involve, like it did for Jesus, being killed, physically killed for the people in your congregation. But what it will involve is laying down your emotional energy, laying down your time, laying down your football games in order to go and serve and teach and help and lead when you all you want to do is sit back in the recliner? Being a shepherd is a demanding job. You know, sometimes ask Mo and Wally why they have the lines that they do on their face. It's not just because they're getting older. It's because they're men who take their job seriously. I haven't been here that long, and I already understand that they work hard in this role. Are you willing to do that if you want to become a shepherd like them and sacrifice your personal comfort? Verse 16, Jesus says, I'm going to bring in some more sheep. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, that they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus was a visionary leader. He understood that it wasn't just about saving the Jews. He was also going to save everybody of any nation who wanted to call upon his name and come to him and be embraced in his fold. And so he's talking about the Gentiles here. And for those of us here in this audience, that's all of us. Every last one of us, I believe, fits in this category. We're the other sheep who have been called into Jesus' fold. And so if you're thinking about being a shepherd one day, you have this mentality that you want to bring in, that you want to be evangelistic, that you want to have studies and encourage studies to be done with other people who are not of this fold, this congregation, this flock right here in our area. Because that was the attitude of our Savior there in verse 16. As we wrap this lesson up, we think about this main idea that spiritual shepherds, like our Savior who leads us, we are to be so utterly focused on the well-being and the welfare of sheep that that is to be our driving quality. We haven't looked at all the characteristics of who elders and deacons are. We'll get to that when we study 1 Timothy and Titus. But it's important to see why Jesus was such a good leader of men, why he still is our shepherd, and why he is the way he is, because we are to pattern our lives onto him, about him, to make sure that we are the way we should be. Everything about Jesus coming to this earth was about self-sacrifice and service. He came so that he could give up his life and die so that our sins could be forgiven. And that's what good shepherds do. They give up their own lives to lead us, and that's the kind of men that we should aspire to be. I appreciate your kind attention and your focus on this really important subject. And ask you now if you need to be saved from your sins. If you need to have your sins washed away this morning, please let us know as you confess that Jesus is the Christ, as you are forgiven of your sins when you are immersed into baptism in the baptistry that we have behind us. Or if you need to come back to the Lord again, after you've been away for a while, please return to your shepherd. We studied a passage in 1 Peter this morning that talked about how we, before Jesus saved us, we were like sheep straying from the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Last verse of 1 Peter 2. If you are straying this morning, please come back. There's only one shepherd that can help you. All the rest are hired hands. All the rest are fake and are evil and are wolves that want to devour you. Only put yourself under his care. He'll lead you to the good pastures. So if we can point you in his direction this morning, please let us know how to do that. As together we stand up and sing the invitation song together.